us all together and let us always keep our trust and faith in him. No matter what we face, just remember that God is the healer of all things. So
amen.
Just pray, especially him. I had a little problem this morning, but it wasn't really a problem, just looked like it. because I really was sweating profusely, but I'm not sick. It's just something that happens from time to time. And this morning was one of the times that it happened. So if you see me sweating, I don't have nothing contagious. We're going to read this morning from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful, God, for this day that you have given unto us. Father, let us always seek you in all things that we have need. Lord, you promised us that you will give us. Lord, and we are waiting and believing that your words are true. And we ask you this day, Lord, if any have a problem within their bodies, in their hearts or souls, Jesus, we ask that you will forgive them. Lord, deliver them. Lord, we ask you to bless Brother Wade this morning as he prepares to minister unto us, that during this time as he ministers, that our minds would be totally upon what he's speaking. God, that we may receive it and be blessed. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Blessed be the God and the Father our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. In who we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence.
Having made known unto us the mysteries of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Also obtain an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ.
In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which in the earnest of our inheritance and redemption of the purchased possession unto the righteousness of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
I'm not sure about you this morning, but that verse, I believe it's in verse 6, to the praise of his glory and of his grace, whereas he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That does something for me this morning. That's why I want to praise him this morning. That's why I want to sing with all my heart, because he hath made us in his beloved, accepted in his beloved. And he, the person of grace, is Jesus Christ. So we should praise him this morning for it. We just thank the Lord for the reading of the word. Brother Michael, would you come this morning and set the offering? Believe he's here this morning. You believe he's here in the house. I tell you, when the presence of the Lord comes in, it brings subject every spirit unto him. Amen. Not even death can stand in the presence of God, because he truly is life. Let's sing that song, "He's in the House." Little girl was lying there. People all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she was sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord, and some began to sing, "He's in the house. Death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise his name. Life where darkness used to be. Oh, now there.
My life is not mine. the second verse.
And I've seen a vision harsh and sweet. One who gave all, he gave all for me. I've seen the passion of his death and the forgiveness of his final breath. Now I can never be the same, for my heart has been forever changed. I got to live and love and give the cause he gave.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Giving my life away. What did Brother Brown say? The Holy Ghost, what was it? Living for others. Amen. Living for others. Brother Dale always said it's something so precious, as soon as you get it, you won't give it away. That's a paradox in your mind. In your mind, you'd think more. No, remember, we're preaching on selfish a little bit here. You know, you're a little selfish when somebody gives you something, you know it's mine. No, when God gives you something, first thing you want to do is give it away. Amen. Because that's just part of the giving heart that he gave his life for me and you. It's only a small portion that we give back to him. And we appreciate what he did for us at Calvary. Never forget that. Never forget salvation. Amen. Good to be back. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Brother Luis. That was a good job Wednesday night. Thank you all for coming and giving him support and being with being with everybody here there on Wednesday night, and we appreciate everybody getting back safe. And good to see Ma back with us and Sister Rebecca back with us. And we've got Justina Jr. back there somewhere. Where's he at? Hey, buddy. We'll get your mama to church one of these days. She said you'd be here. I said, well, what about you? So she didn't say anything about that. So Justina works with me at the post office, and that's one of her children. And it's good to have him with us today. He's sojourning with Robert's family. But thank you all for your prayers while we've been gone. We had a good time. We didn't get any deer. We killed a lot of time. But June got to see some nice big Illinois bucks. And me and Thomas got close, didn't we, Thomas? We got close. We were 85 yards from the deer I wanted to shoot. But with a crossbow, that's a bit too far. But that's okay. We'll get him again the next time. But he's a golly whopper. He's a big one. Thomas says, goodness. I gave him the binoculars because I could see it. I mean, I gave him the binoculars. He said, goodness. So we thank the Lord for giving us an opportunity to be able to get away for a little while and to enjoy the outdoors. Also, by way of announcements, remember, questions and answers will be this afternoon at the regular service. Everybody, it's just a normal regular service, but we'll be answering a few questions. I've got three so far, and if you have any more, you can bring between service. We'll try to answer them, and I do have a service. I do have a message after that, so if don't think you're going to get out of here in 30 minutes or something, okay? All right. Not going to happen. All right, remember, Brother Bob will be speaking for us this Wednesday night. Remember the Bethel Youth Camp coming up the 27th through the 30th. That is one of the questions that one of the youth asked is how to approach youth camps, which is a good question. All right, what are they for? What are they good for? Why should they go? And all that. So we'll answer that this afternoon. Now, there'll be no Bible study on the 5th. We're now heading into November because there will be a wedding the next day on Sunday at 4 o'clock. Lily and Zach, make sure you RSVP if you're going. No kids under 15. There'll be no Bible study on the 5th. Also, remember, change your clocks. That Saturday, fall backwards on November the 5th, fall back 1 hour. You get 1 hour extra sleep. All right, so it'll be only one service on the 6th. Then at 4 o'clock, there'll be a wedding. Then on November the 13th, there'll be the church dinner. And then I think the first Sunday of December is when we're going to have our church Christmas dinner. So if anybody's got a play or anything that some of the kids want to do or practice a song or something for that, it's very early in December. It won't be close to the 25th. It'd be very early. So you need to get it done. That means that's only about 7 weeks away. So just remember that. Also, after this service, practice. Get with Sister Christine and the youth will practice a song before you eat. You come up here and practice a song and get it done. All right? Immediately after the service. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right? And just remember each one in prayers. One's a sick. Good to see Sister Frieda back. Good to see Brother Paul back with us. And good to have everybody here healthy and alert. So let's go to John 1:1, where we've been before. And I was studying a little bit last night and continuing on, but something struck me just a few minutes ago. So we're going to anybody ever said it's all in your head? It's all in your head. Oh, come on, man. It's all in your head. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Because remember, memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination comes from where? Your head. Your stinking thinking. But I'm going to read you here in a few minutes that we got to have a renewing of your mind, or we must have the mind of Christ. So something's got to transfer. When we start with these virtues, it's got to be something so abnormal from what your everyday, we got to be virtuous. We got to stay a virgin. That's fine. But it's not what that virtue means. That means power. That means strength. That means something coming from you. That means silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I unto thee. Look how selfish, unselfish Peter and John were. Such as I have, give I unto you. That's where we're going to talk about that. We got to get our mindset first. Because remember, we know one thing for sure. Your flesh is never perfect. We know that. I've taught you that many, many times. It doesn't sin. It's motivated by what's inside of you. Now listen, this was born in sin and it's going to die if we don't take a body change. But that doesn't have anything to do with your soul. And if your soul is redeemed and then we get the memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination heading toward God, then the flesh will have to become under subjection to that. Because now your flesh is under subjection because used to you didn't want to come to church. You took your flesh somewhere else. Amen? You took your flesh somewhere else. You held a beer with this hand, not a Bible. But now what happened? The one inside of you was changed to bring us to a, not just a, it's all in your head. And it's not just so much, but it is a mental adjustment. We've all got to come to a mental adjustment from being humans to being eternal in the same body. All right? We got to learn to separate it. We got to learn how to put it back together because that's what these virtues are. Amen. That's living through your spirit realm to get to the outside guy, all right, or to get to where the moving part is, all right? So we'll speak about that in just a little while. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day. We ask you just be with us. Help the ones that are sick, Lord, the ones that are not with us, the ones that are traveling, maybe still be on vacation. We ask you, Lord, that you just be with each one, Father. Just anoint us for this journey that we're on. Lord, we're not going to leave anybody behind, Lord. We want everybody to go with us. Father, we pray that you would just give us spiritual insight. We are spiritual people. Lord, you told us that we love revelation. So, Father, reveal yourself to us today, Lord. Beyond anything else, reveal yourself through the Word of God. Just be with the ones, Lord, that are not here. The ones that are sin sick, Father. We pray that you'd be with each one, Lord. And just bring them back to you, Father. We're praying for all of the ones, our wayward children and loved ones and the different ones, Lord. We're praying earnestly. Because that door's going to shut on that ark. And you're going to shut it, Lord. We're not going to be able to do it. You're going to be able to be the one that shuts it. But it's got to come when we come to a place where we can say it's not all in our head. That it has become a reality, Father. We pray that you'd just bless us now and take care of us. In Jesus' name and to further this service, amen. In the beginning was Word. Word was with God and Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. That's what we're trying to get. The Word was made flesh. All right? But by the transforming power of God, he's turning your flesh. When we take a body change, folks, it's not going to be a body from your mom and daddy. This did, but it's going to be changed. Something's going to be changed in the atoms of your body, and you're going to become the Word, just as Jesus is now the fullness of the Word made flesh, in a glorified body. Is everybody with me? That's what we're heading toward. We're not heading toward anything else. That's what we have a mandate in this end time, is to have a body change. Amen. Nothing else. All right? You say, oh, brother, nothing else. Amen. Listen, if it wasn't for the opening of those seals in 1963, I'll read it to you in a few minutes, the greatest battle ever fought. He said, now the battle begins. Amen. Now is when the battle begins. Today is when the battle is going to begin. What? The battle for a body change. Nobody's ever conquered it. Amen. But a bride's going to conquer it. Amen. We're going to be given the equipment to do it with. And what is it? It's the Word of God. Yes. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, and Lord, add His blessing to the reading of the Word. Let's read 1 Thessalonians there while you're getting your seats adjusted and all warm and cozy. And yeah, don't fall asleep. That every one of you should... Hey, Kay, why are you standing here? Here, I'll give these out. There's about 50 of them, so don't give everybody. If there's a family, let, you know, like Sister Rebecca and Sister... whatever her name is, let them watch. I'm horrible. Sorry, Sister Anna. It's just an uncommon name, Anna. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Look, in sanctification and honor. You're going to be possessed by something. So let's be possessed by God. All right? You're going to be possessed by something. We've read that many, many times. So let's go to Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That what? That you got to do something. Not just, well, I'm here. No. You got to prove. You're going to prove to Satan that you can live a Christian life in this flesh body. Amen. Exemplary. Not an imagination. Not something that's in your head. It's going to be something that is a reality. Brother Branham, when he told those visions and when he told those people, you're from so-and-so and your name is so-and-so and you live on so-and-so street, that was not imagination. Even though that did come from his mind. It was a vision that was true and it had materialized either before or after. He either says, I saw you in the doctor, or he said, I see you. So he was projected either both ways, backwards and forward. And you know what? It came to pass. So that made him real. How many times have we had, though, an imagination in our mind and that thing never even come close to coming to pass? It just didn't. I had a dream the other night. Me and Thomas was doing something. He'd been with us all week. And I don't know how this thing came together, but he was in a DOT truck. Department of Transportation, there were signs everywhere, yield and stop, and you know, then it went away. Well, that dream, I hope, I don't know whether you're going to work for DOT or not, but that dream has, it doesn't have a lot of validity. I'm not going to put everything I got, Thomas. No, don't do that. You go, dude, don't be a DOT. There ain't nothing wrong being DOT, but this, we have dreams and imaginations. But this is not a dream and an imagination. This is going to come to pass. This will materialize. It has already materialized in the mind of God. So being that it materialized in the mind of God. Okay, if you got any leftover tea, you got some leftover back there. If anybody wants another copy, you can have one. It's going to be scriptures that we're going to read here in just a little while. Do not read it now. Read it in a little while. But listen, may you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, the very life we live, the very things that we say, the very things that we do, if we do it according to the Word of God, you will be different. How many times have I told you that? You're not going to say, well, I'm going to try to be different. I don't want to be like the world. No, if you got the new birth, you're heading in a direction to not be like the world. Because remember, only the bride has the Holy Ghost. Only the bride has the new birth. We got to get to where, listen, we got to get to a place to where God is going to separate us. Amen. We're not. If you try to separate yourself, you just turn yourself away from God, I believe. But you just be who you are. Be the Word of God for your day, and you will be different. Yes. Luther was the Word of God for his day, and he was different. Yes. Amen?
That's right.
Wesley, all the great ones. When you see those men, when you see those men come out of the world, what made them different? Their doctrine. They're preaching. It made them different. It put them in a book to where we could read a history about somebody. Amen? So that's the same way with me and you, because remember, Brother Brown said if another book would be written, it would be another book of Acts. All right? And we are written epistles, known and read of all men. We are written in this Bible all the way from, as the old black man said, from kiver to kiver. We're all the way, we're the Holy Bible made manifest. Not just, well, y'all live the Old Testament, we live the New. I've heard that before, you know, and so have you. I believe it's all right to live in both. Why are you excluding one or the other? All right? But you're going to prove what's a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Luke 8, verse 45. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter said they were with him. Said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee and saith, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue," that's that virtue on the pyramid, "has gone out of me." I just wanted to read that to you because, listen, this afternoon, if we get to it and we don't have any more questions, there's a time where that woman touched his garment and she got something, right? There was a contact, right? But now there was a time, though, that when a Gentile soldier walked up to Jesus and never touched him, never got close to him, and said, "Whatever you say, that's what will happen. Whatever you say, I'm a man of authority. You're a man of authority." What happened was that virtue, that dunamis, or that power went from Jesus right to that person, and he was healed. It wasn't that the centurion he was a Gentile, Roman soldier. He had to have his hands laid on, because you know what Jesus said the first thing? We'll read it this afternoon, maybe. First thing Jesus said is, "Okay, I'll go." Look how good Jesus was. He said, "Okay, I'll go." And he said, "No, I don't want you to go. You're a man of authority." You know, in other words, he was a centurion. He had 5,200 men. And he just give an order. And he didn't have to go with the guy and say, "All right, come on, you got to tell this guy right here." No, he gave the order. He stayed where he was at. And he sent that order, or that power went with what? The messenger. And that messenger gave the order, but the power behind it was, well, who'd that come from? That come from the centurion. Who'd that come? That come from Brother Branham. That come from Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the authority. And that's what I believe that Brother Branham, in the first part of his ministry, remember, it was not in the years of preparation. It wasn't in the prayer lines. That wasn't his message. That was to get people to see that he was a prophet. To see that he was a messenger of God. So when he became the messenger of God, all that background, we could say that ain't nothing but the truth, just like Hattie Wright did. And that's what we're trying to do now. We're trying to say that ain't nothing but the truth. Not putting the man on a pedestal. Listen, God's going to do that. God will give him. God will give him everything. Give him crowns and we give him accolades here and we give him reverence here. But he's not our Savior. But we know where our Savior got spoken like no other man. He spoke about Jesus Christ than any other man on the face of this earth. Nobody understood him. Nobody's going to understand you. We're just going to be an oddity to the world. Listen, the world don't get born again like we do. You understand what I mean? The world don't look like we do. The world don't act like we do. So look, let God do the separating. You don't have to walk in a room and, like Dad always said, "I'm the preacher, I live non-smoking." You know, you don't have to. No. Walk your daily life. I promise you, God or the devil want to have you say something and help people get ill about it. In the statue of perfect man, Brother Bram said, "Look, that's the way it is to try to manufacture Christianity. You can't do it. The first thing you got to do is be born again. All right, so we've read this many times, but I want that to sink in. If you are not growing in virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience, please say, God, save my soul. Because that's where it's got to come from. It's going to come from that soul and bloom out. And if it what? If it's dark, it's going to bloom darkness. If it's light, it's going to bloom light. There is no in between. There is no gray area. There is no, well, I'll wait for a little while. No. You've got to be changed. And when you're changed, you become a new creation. Now you're getting right. Now you're getting right. See, now you don't have to worry about the feathers. It'll take care of itself. When you're born again, yes, sir. Now notice, you must be born again. That is what? Changed. There's got to be a change. Your body change started on the day you got born again.
That's right.
Amen? And if you don't continue on and you're still born again, you will come to your body change. It's just you're going to have to die a fleshly death to come back up in a resurrection. And then what Brother Brown said even about the foolish virgin, they're going to have to die, give their life for the gospel, and then come up in a resurrection and be given eternal life. I don't want to do that. I want to get it here. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Darty. He said, I don't want to do that either. I want to get it now. You know why? Because that gives you a... You know how we always played Monopoly? You always love that one card that says, pass go, collect $200, or pass jail. You don't have to go to jail. We want to pass that. Well, there's one over there in the corner that says death. There's one that says death. I want that pass that says bypass.
Amen.
Bypass death.
Amen.
And that's exactly... We're in the game of life, right?
Yes.
Well, I want that card. You've got it today.
Amen.
It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost and growing, as Brother Ram says in a few minutes, that we just get started growing when we get born again, not that we're already grown. All right? We're babies in Christ. It's not bad to be a baby. It's bad to stay a baby. Romans or Hebrews 6 is therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, as we were talking now the other day. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and a faith toward God. See, that's what had happened down through the church ages. Get born again. Live a good Christian life. Die a human death. Go over in the sixth dimension. Waiting for what? Waiting for the body change. But somebody, the Bible says, according to Paul, says, we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God. Trumpet! It's sounding.
Amen.
Then Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain will be changed. All right? So that's the part I want to see. I don't. And we got to get off this foundation to come to a place where God can use us of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Look, and this will we do if God permit. Listen, God sent an end time messenger to permit you to do that. Amen? He didn't just open the seal. He opened the whole Bible. He opened the whole way. He was the porter. He was the one that stood in the door and said, hey, come in. It's for you. I don't care about me. It's for you. This building's for you. That's where you get to that selfishness. Brother Branham was the most selfless, not selfish, selfless person there ever was. Because everything he got, he gave it to us. Amen. I like what Brother Claude said one time. Brother Branham said one time, he said, I just can't keep a secret. Well, thank God he didn't keep a secret. What he kept was for him. But what was for me and you, he's just kept telling us and kept telling us. Even the angel said, hey, quit explaining it. He said, well, and I, you know what he was saying in his mind? They're babies. They got to understand what I'm saying. Because the angel said, look, just tell them, and if they don't like it, don't worry about it. But he was a human being. And he had what? The most unselfish motive in the world is to get a people ready. Ephesians 4:11 said he gave some apostles, and then what did he do? He gave it to me and you. He didn't keep it to himself. He gave it some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What? For the perfecting of the saints.
Amen.
For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look, till we all come to the unity of faith.
Yes.
We can't do that, Brother Wade. Well, the Bible says we can.
Yes, amen.
The Bible says we will. All right? And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's what this is behind me, is the stature of Christ, the fullness. That we henceforth be no more children. Babies. Amen?
Amen.
I want us to realize when we say something that Brother Branham said, it's like Brother Dale said, he always said, he said, Paul said, if I become your enemy because I told you the truth. The truth of the matter is, Brother Branham said, every time you come to the altar, you get weaker. You want me to bring you that quote? I've already read it two or three times here. The more you come to the altar, the weaker you get. I'm just telling you what he said. Why? We need to grow up, not be children. Every little thing, no. Pray yourself. Go to God yourself. You know why don't you go to God yourself? Because you're not right somewhere. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to hurt your feelings, but look. Tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine. You see people leave and they come back. Leave and they come back. Look, by the slight of men, preachers. Preachers. Where'd you get your doctrine? Somebody told you that from the pulpit. Where'd you get to where you can cut your hair out in the world? The preacher behind the pulpit said, oh, that's just Old Testament stuff. We're living in the New Testament and he needs to read his Bible because it's in the New Testament. About her hairs or glory. Amen? By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. For whom also the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted. I told Brother Joe, we was coming and praying just a few minutes ago. I said, I'm just glad everybody got together, back together. I don't like it when the body scatters. I scattered, Anna, all different ones, you know, Aaron and him, they were scattered. Not scattered sheep. Well, maybe. But we scatter, but we come back, and you come back together, and it's like it's safety. With sheep, there's safety in numbers. What does Satan do? He tries to cut one of you. What? Cut one of you out of the herd. Go watch a document of lions and tigers and different ones. They'll find one weak. They'll find one that's limping just a little bit. They'll find one that kind of gets away from the herd a little bit. Guess what? That's the one they go after. So that's the one Satan sends the hounds of hell after, is that one that's kind of separated herself out somewhere else. I don't know where that came from, but it was worth something. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Today we're compacted back together by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Now we see that we're not got to that Son of Man part yet. We're right here where it says the Son of God. We now have the new birth. We now are starting with what? The faith of God. He's given it to you, so now it's your faith.
Yes.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
It's your faith.
Right.
All right? Brother Brown said, this is my eye. God gave it to me. So because it says add to your faith.
Yes.
It didn't say add to God's faith. It said add to your faith.
Right.
Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance of the Son of God. So now we're off of that. We've got to get off that foundation. And we will. And he said unto them, if any come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. It's just something I want to remind you. Remember, this is a cross-bearing group of people.
Amen.
Amen. It's not somebody that you give it to the preacher and you give it to, you know, Brother Branham, or you give it to the priest and, well, they'll carry it for me. No, you got to carry your own cross.
Yes.
And it might be rough. That old cross, you know, it's called an old rugged cross for a reason. They didn't sit there and shine it up like this right here.
Right.
That's right.
No, they hewn it out of a round log, and it probably had splinters this long sticking out of it. And that's the way it is with me and you in life. I'm sorry, that may not be deep, but this is a life lesson. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. There we go with selfishness. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will save it. Then Paul tells us that you need to die daily. There's something in your life that needs to die every day. 365 demons needed to die in your life, much less mine and somebody else's life. All right? And I like this scripture. I've come to learn it a little bit more. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Listen, you don't have to say you're foolish and you're ignorant. Just live the life. You're going to, like I said, you're going to be different. You're going to be contrary. You're going to think different. You're going to act different. You're going to talk different. So you'll put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. There'll come a time when those foolish virgins, foolish men, are going to come to who? To get oil. The ones that have it. They're not going to go back to the denomination and try to get it. Come on, somebody. They're going to what? Come to somebody they think they knows got it. And that's got to be the bride.
Right.
Amen? For so is the will of God, with well-doing you may put to silence. How are we going to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men? We are going to, what? Come to this what? Now we've got to come to full doctrine. Full doctrine. Not just parked. Full doctrine. I like good shouting meetings. I do too. Where we just clap our hands and shout and have a good time. There's a place for all that. Have great powerful services and things. Dance on the bubble, as it were. But what is he saying? He said, all right, come back here, though. But wait. Then when the showdown time comes, that's when you and the devil are toe-to-toe and you don't have that atmosphere. You don't have that bubble dancing. You don't have that anointing that makes you feel good. It just gets you all warm. No, you may be outside on the backside of a desert somewhere, like Jesus was, by himself for 40 days. Didn't have nothing to eat or drink. That was kind of a miracle. You can't live without so many days without water. Amen? Bible said he didn't have bread or water. But wait then, when the showdown time comes, you don't know where you're standing. You went out and had a good time in a meeting. That was good. That was shouting. That was whatever. Speaking in tongues. You got hands laid on. You got prayed for. Same way we're talking about. We're going to talk about that a little bit about youth camps tonight. But you got to know where you're standing at your home church.
Yeah.
Your day to day. Your home. Wherever you're living at. Where you're working at. You got to know where you're standing. Let's go back and find out. Let's find out what's making us do that. Let's get back to the foundation, see where we're at. That's what we're doing now. We want the open book, but have we got all of our eyes open? Preach it, somebody. Oh, we leaving that open book, brother. We got an open book. We open book. Well, are both of our eyes open? Are we living that open book? Because you know what? If it was closed, you can have a little bit of ignorance, and you'll get by with it. Because the book's closed. But if that book's open and you have full access, what's your excuse? Full access to everything that God's given us. And it's not just an imagination. It's not a doctrine. It's not something you're thinking about. No, it's the Word of God. Amen? We'll read it tonight. Bible says, cast down imagination. We got to do that. Now look, it says it's easy to feel the power of God to see when you believe. But when it comes to the showdown, are you able to possess the thing that you profess to have? We're end time bride. And you hear it all over the message. We're in the message of the Son of Man. Well, they can't even get the Son of God right, most of them. They make him a Tunis. Or they make him a two-soul, seventh unto virtue. They make him this. They make him wasn't God to the River Jordan. Right. Come on, people.
Amen.
Are you able to possess the thing that you profess to have? That's the thing, brother. We've got to get it. You've got to take it. It's yours. But you'll fight for every inch of it.
Amen.
So it's a fight. Remember, it's a battleship, not a cruise ship.
Right.
I love going cruise ships. They're just really nice. But, boy, could you imagine being in a battleship in the middle of a battle? You got all them guns blaring, and you got somebody with a 50 caliber doing this, and you got airplanes diving trying to kill you. Devils trying to kill you. But God has given you the equipment. We're going to talk about it a little bit later on. There is no way that the United States of America is going to send their soldiers to war with a toothpick and a butter knife. And just a loincloth. No. They're going to put everything they can on him. They're going to train him for ever how many weeks. A lot of you have been in the military. You know, they didn't just, Brother Donnie, they didn't say, oh, you're in the military here. You need to go fight. No, you die the first day. So God has equipped us for this battle before the battle even begins. We're all tried. Every Christian, every son, every child that comes to God is tried by the Word.
Yes.
He's tried by the Word. He's not tried by your enemy.
That's right.
He's tried by the Word of God.
Right.
To see if you'll be loyal to it. They're loyal. Well, I think I might. Well, I think I might not. No, you got to be loyal to it. When the showdown comes, what decision are you going to make? That's it. He that cannot stand chastisement but goes on with the world, he's an illegitimate child. and not a son and daughter of God. Certainly not. But the spiritual minded. We're talking about mind today. The spiritual minded catches the word, lines up with it. Sister Hattie Wright, that ain't nothing but the truth. And the spirit comes down under the shed blood and takes that person. Take me, Lord. That's what you ought to say this morning. Take me, Lord. Wherever you're going to take me, take me. Paradox, 1964. I like this quote. Some of you giggled at it, and so did I when I first read it, but it's very true. It was a paradox when the Hebrew children was thrown into the fiery furnace. How that three men could walk into a furnace so hot that the intense heat even killed the men that were pushing them in. And yet they stayed in that. It only delivered them. Now he's going to explain it. That's the only thing it did, see. It delivered them from the bounds that they were bound with. It was a paradox. You understand what he's saying? They thought it was going to be the end of their life. They were bound up with chains or whatever it was. Didn't matter if it was fetters. And they were doing this. And they were heading toward this thing. It was a glowing red hot. And they probably could feel the heat at one time. But all of a sudden, there was a cool breeze went by. And they just said, all right, we're good. Walked right on in. And they watched the rope. Brother John, at that hot, it just disintegrated those ropes. Turned them to ashes. So what bound them, the situation they were in, the hotness of the battle or the heat of the oven is what delivered them. Yeah. That's what's going to deliver me and you. The heat of the battle is what's going to deliver me and you. Amen. Sometimes in our own lives, that paradox repeats. Sometimes you're brought to a showdown where you have to make a decision. Listen, God's going to make us make a decision. Whether it's the foolishness of preaching or where if you hear it from Brother Branham or you read it in the Bible, you're going to come to a place to where you're going to have to make a decision. Amen. You have to stand on that decision, though, like they did. And it all works together for the good. What did it do? It never hurt them. It loosed them. That's right. The battle that you fought should loose you, not hurt you. Because if we're children of God, we're going to be put into situations. Right. By God.
That's right.
By God.
Amen. That's
right. To try you. I just read that quote. To try you.
Oh, well.
Abraham. Go kill your son, the one I gave you by promise.
Amen.
Go kill him. And he didn't just do it in an instant. He made Isaac get the wood. They traveled so many miles. Isaac put the wood on his shoulder. He said, no, we're going to make a sacrifice today. We're going to try to get to church. Abraham says, we'll be back in a little while. Me and the boy. Look at the faith. Me and the boy are going to go worship, and me and the boy will bring our... Amen. Body change. That's what you got to look at. There was a change when Abraham went up there. He was going to kill that guy, which was his son. And he come down, and when he come down, that angel went. And what did the Bible say? The Bible says, God said, now I know. Now, no, God... All-knowing, God knew before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Now I know, Abraham, that you're my son. You're my child. No. Well, we know that was what he said. But what he was really saying was, Abraham, you know what you are and what you're going to be. He let Abraham know. Sometimes we're caught in that position. First thing you've got to do, like the man drowning in the river. You got to get the man out of the river before you can get the river out of the man.
Come on.
Yeah, that's something what a man has to do. It comes out and makes him stand. Get the thing out. And get him out of the thing so he can get the thing out of him. That's what we're looking at. You say, well, I don't have a demon in me. Well, that's the first demon you need to get out. Everybody with me? You need to get the lying devil off of you first. Everybody with me? If I hurt your feelings, sorry. But we all have demons. Everybody's got them. It's just how you handle them. Everybody with me? Look, now there's a perfect way. Listen to this. There's a perfect way and a permissive will. We know that. All right, there's a perfect way God wants to do it, and there's a permissive will. He'll allow you to go this way just to show you that he's boss. All right? And I feel that if God, here on the platform, listen to this, can show me things that has been, and in my rooms and so forth. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about private interviews. Remember, he had private interviews. They come in, and God would actually answer the question before the people would get there. So, oh, I got four questions. Brother Brown said, okay, ask them. And Brother Brown would take out a sheet of paper and say, look, here's your answer. God's already told me the question. Now, what is that? That's the mind of God. That can't be the mind of man. So there had to be that builds your faith to believe that Brother Brown was a mouthpiece of God. He was and had the mind of Christ. That's what Paul said we had to have a long time ago. Can show me things that has been in my rooms and so forth. He's able to tell me just where he wants me and what he wants me to do. Look how submissive. But I feel as long as I've got it all hooked up, watch this, I feel like then he won't put his hand on it as long as I'm doing it. Wow. Wow. Watch this right here. And that's the way it is with anything. As long as you're going to do it, if someone talks about you and you talk back about them, oh, that hurt. God can't fight your battle. I'm going to read it one more time. If someone talks about you and you talk back about them, what? That's that selfish thing. He said this about me, so I'm going to say this about him. God can't fight your battle. You're fighting it yourself. Everybody with me? I want this to cut, but cut real good. Look, just let loose and let him do it. And just commit it to him. That's what we've been doing. Commit our kids to God. Commit our wayward people to God. Just say, put them, and listen, whatever happens, don't put your hand back on it.
Amen.
Take your hand off.
Amen.
Oh, it's going to be rough. As long as they make it.
That's right.
Fine with me. Look, the greatest weapon that I know of a Christian today is a committal to God. Everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet?
Amen.
All on this side does and this side doesn't. Well, a few up here in the front. I'm sorry, those in the back are asleep. The greatest weapon that I know of a Christian today is a committal to God. Commit it to God. Because you know what we do? We get our mind involved and we go through our memories of conscious facts and imagination and think this is the way we want it done. Hold on a minute. I'm sorry. This is the way God ought to do it. The Almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, eternal. We're trying to tell them how to do it. Yeah. The greatest weapon. So listen, you got to have weapons because we're going into a battle. Brother Brown, we're going to talk about right here, the greatest battle ever fought. Is it what? A committal to God. What a soldier does is when he commits himself to the army, like Brother Donnie and some of you that were in service, you committed yourself to an army that's supposed to be the best, not the worst. But you committed yourself that the United States would stand behind you and give you the best equipment made. Well, what about this army that we've got into now? This army of God. If America can equip their... If America can equip and give them everything they need, what about God?
Amen.
He already knows how the battle's going to go. He already knows what equipment you need to get through the battle. We're just guessing. America's just guessing. That's why America's going to get blown off the map. We're just guessing. When you can't do nothing about it, just commit it to him, and God will take care of it. Everybody with me? Greatest battle ever fought. Here was kind of my thought. I was thinking on this the other day. If we need a mental adjustment, and then that phrase comes up, it's all in your head. So watch what happened. So as an army first in getting ready for a battle, first there's got to be, look, select some soldiers. Not just everybody. Remember, there's a process. When you go up there, they check your eyes, they check your ears, they check your nose, they check your joints, they check. How many of you have been in the military? Okay, well, real recently, Sister Mary back there. But you go through this thing, and they start, and look, it doesn't make you inferior, but they weed out, they want the best.
Right.
Yeah. If you can't see, you're not going to be a pilot.
Right.
Disaster! Right? That's why I said, people, you're the best of the best if you got the new birth. If you got the new birth, he's changed every bit of that. He's brought you up to what? First in line. He's weeded out all the rest. He's brought you up, put you first in line. Give you the best equipment, the shield, the sword. The... Come on, somebody. Some soldiers, select. They've got to be dressed for fighting. Not for a picnic. You dress a whole lot different to get on a battleship than you do a cruise ship. Yeah, somebody. You've got to be trained for fighting. And I believe that the greatest battle that was ever fought is now, 1962. 3/11/1962. Almost exactly 1 year before the seals were preached in 1963 in March. He's telling them to get ready for a battle. Oh, he fought many battles. Listen, what about a prophet that stood and he fought many battles? 300,000 people got saved. Hundreds of people got healed. All these different things. Now he said the battle's just now getting ready to be fought. Wow. He knew that it would become spiritual and it would become that not everybody could make it. Because look, is now ready to go into action. I believe that God has been selecting his soldiers. I believe he's been dressing them, training them, and the battlefront is now set, getting ready to start. Where is it, Brother Branham? There has to be a place selected. You know, they had to select a place for the Battle of Gettysburg. They had to select, even there's a select place for the Battle of Armageddon. But people select places. You just don't go in and start fighting randomly. No. You pick your place. You pick your battle. You pick your spot. Well, the greatest battle ever fought, we know where it's at. It's in our mind. That's why we're going to talk about it here just for a few minutes, if that's all right. There has to be a place selected. And this, look, there's a mutual ground. Both parties. Mutual ground. No man's land, and they fight here at this place. They just don't one fight over here, one down over here, one run over here. There's a battlefront where they meet and test their powers, where each army tests its strength against the other army, a mutual meeting place. Now look, he said, now don't miss this. When this great battle started on earth, there had to be a mutual meeting place. There had to be a place selected for the battle to begin and for the battle to rage. And that battleground begins in the human mind. Not this. Not how much you can, how much human knowledge or human temperance or human virtue you have. It's how much God knowledge, God temperance, God patience you have. And that battle begins in the human mind. There is where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of battle where it was begin, and that is because that decisions are made from the mind, the head. Now, they never started it from some organization. They never started it from some mechanical affair. The grounds never started there. Therefore, that organization can never, never do the works of God. Because the battleground where you've got to meet your enemy is in the mind.
Yes. Amen.
You've got to make your choice. It meets you.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
You've got to make a choice.
Amen.
Now, let's look. That's what the phrase, it's all in your head. Oh, man, come on, that's all in your head. What do you mean it's all in? It's all in your head. It's all in your head. Let me read you this. Now, you've got your, we're going to read scriptures. I want you to read, I'm going to read this to you. What does it's all in your head mean? All right, shake yourself, wake up just a little bit. Look, at least look alive. Some of you ought to paint eyeballs on the back of your eyelids so you, I think you're awake. That'd be putting on makeup, wouldn't it? No, the only thing, listen, we know that the body is weak, the flesh. But as a minister of the gospel and the others that come here and preach, it tears at our heart that this doesn't excite you. And you let that override. It's just like going to sleep at a who in the world would go to sleep at a ball game? How many of you have ever seen ESPN has not lived by this? Touchdown. No, the dude's got on his garb. He's got on his Sunday best.
Right.
He's got his favorite team tattooed across his chest.
Yeah, right.
It's 12 below zero, and he's naked.
Right.
Please don't try that. But listen, folks, it's what you enjoy.
Right.
Listen, I enjoy watching ball games. I do. But it's on my time,
right,
not God's time.
Right.
All right? Look, now look, the meaning of it comes from your head. It's from the internet, so it must be true. It's imaginary, made up, psychosomatic. While it indeed is from your head, it's implied that it was created by your mind, not that it's from your brain. It's from your psyche. Listen. It's not uncommon for people to say this about diagnosis, conditions, illnesses that don't have visible or physical symptoms. Hey, dude, it's all in your head.
Right.
Listen, another meaning. If something is all in your head, you have imagined it, and it's not real. Think about that. I love the quote one time because, you know what, we get all nervous and bent out of shape. We think people's talking about us all the time. Come on, somebody. We think, oh, my Frida, I see her. She's over here whispering to Paul because I got something on my nose or something. You know, it's something. My hair's not right or something. Or that's back, some them kids back there, they whispering about me because I'm ugly.
Hey.
Well, that's true. Me, ugly. Not you, Frida, me. Not at all. When they're not even talking about you 1 second.
Right.
A psychologist said one time, he said, you spend about 80% of your time, listen to this, 80% of your time worrying about what somebody's saying about you when that person don't spend 2% of their time thinking about you.
Right, right.
Amen.
All right, Brother Collie?
Right.
I got too many problems of my own. I have to deal with some of y'all in this position I'm in for the temporary moment. But we've got to get it out of our head into our heart.
Yeah.
Because we got to have the mind of Christ.
Hallelujah.
And the greatest battle is up here. So what is the battle of? It's me and you.
Yeah.
The battle is us.
Yeah.
Not, like I said, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. A preacher's not going to make you not make it or make it.
Right.
You're going to individually. Now, we need guidance. We need help. Don't all go home. We need that.
Yeah.
But your choice and your mind, it's what you got to make up. Whether you want to what? Raise your hand. Scream when you want to scream. Shout when you want to shout. Right? Let's read these here in the Bible just a little bit, and then we'll stop right here. I wanted to get to something else, but we'll stop. We'll get to it next Sunday or this afternoon. Look at the Bible in Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. And listen, he doesn't list prostitution. He doesn't list... What does he list? One thing. That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It came from right here. And then they did what they did because of what they were thinking. Remember? Stinking thinking. Genesis 8:21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination. Remember, we got to cast that down. Memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. That's part of the five senses in that spirit realm. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. He's talking about the flood. Jeremiah 7:23 said, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked walked through life. They walked what? Look at that. In the counsel and in the imagination of their evil heart and went backwards, not forward.
Come on.
Amen. Nothing good about this is going to happen. Right. Nothing. Keep going. Everybody with me?
Amen.
Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, things you think of in your mind. Luke 2, verse 35. And I wrote us a note here. Yes, yeah, sword shall pierce through my own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's this age. That's why Brother Ram could stand and say, I see you were at a somewhere yesterday and you said a bad word and you need to get that straightened out. Why? He was looking right at it. He was looking at not an imagination. They can call him whatever they want to call him. He was not an imaginary prophet. He was a mouthpiece of God. And God spoke to him, used his lips, and told you your problems, just like he's doing the same thing now. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Luke 2, verse 35 is what we're talking about now. The thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. How is that? By the opening of the word.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Watch. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. I'll give you an example of that just in a few minutes. Neither were thankful, but become what? Vain in their imaginations. Listen, every false doctrine is an imagination. It did not come from God. Everybody with me? God has no imagination. He don't imagine things and they don't come to pass. No, he thinks it, they come to pass. So wait a minute. Back up here. Everybody wake up. We got to have that same mind. We got to have the mind of Christ. Mind of Christ has no imagination in it. That's why we're going to read in a minute. Cast down imagination. That's our problem. And really it is. It's an issue that I see y'all have and I have. We think too much about whatever people think about us.
Amen.
You need to worry about yourself. But became vain in their imaginations. Look. And their foolish heart was darkened. They ain't nothing good with that, folks. Nothing good with that. Nothing. Their foolish heart was darkened. 2 Corinthians 10. But I beseech you that I may not be bold. Oh, let me back up here to Romans 1 verse 20. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. We were coming to, it's kind of strange how God works. Well, it's not strange to him, it's strange to us. Here we go imagining things. We never listen to 106.1 because we usually listen to the fish. I'm laying it all on the altar. R105, K-Love, everybody. I know y'all do because you sing the song that was on it. But 106, secret sinners. But we listened. It was on 106.1 because George Game was on yesterday on that station. But they played gospel music, Southern gospel music, for like an hour. On 106.1 up here in Cornelia. Some of you already listened. Well, we were listening to it coming up the road. And I was thinking on this very thing about the imagination and mind, all different things. And they sang that song, Liar, Liar. Talking about the devil being a liar. But they just don't know. They're being deceived by that same lie. Do you see the deception? They're singing the very songs by inspiration. They know Satan's a liar, but he's got them believing his lie.
Yes,
and we believe it to a degree. Till we get it all knocked out of us.
Right.
But that's how deceiving that is. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God.
Amen.
What is the great deception? Satan sitting in the temple of God.
Come on.
Showing himself to be as God.
Right.
In this age.
Yes.
And they sing the songs and they're condemning their own self. Thinking that they're what? That they're, oh, well, the devil's over there because I'm singing about him over there. Liar, liar. And then they go to church, and the preacher stands up and says, well, we're going to baptize you today in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because we love this blessed Trinity. That's a lie of the devil, folks. Lie! They're living a lie, but they think they're living the truth. Now, I just feel sorry for them. I'm not trying to kick the guy out, but when I was listening to that song, I thought, my God. Do you remember? Do you remember? Brother Brown said, when they hung Jesus on the cross, the very word himself, they hung Jesus on the cross, right? They were in the temple singing the very songs about that, and they're the ones that put him on the cross, and they're singing to get the Messiah here. They're singing these songs from the Psalms and from the Songs of Solomon. They're singing the very song that's condemning them. Come on, people. That's how close it is. That's how we can't have. We got to cast down imagination. But I beseech you, for 2 Corinthians 10, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence. Look, wherewith I think to be bold against some, right? Don't put people down. Which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now keep reading. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't walk by the flesh. We walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. It's not your flesh's fault. How many times can I get that in your head? Quit blaming your flesh. No, it's that spirit that's motivating your flesh. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Look, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted what? Itself. Itself. Against the knowledge of God. Which is what? The truth. And look, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Read that one more time. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. I want to be a prisoner. I want to be a prisoner. You know what a prisoner has? No rights. Prisoner's locked up. Prisoner has no rights. Paul said it 100 times in the New Testament. Paul, a prisoner of Christ. Paul, a prisoner in my bonds. I glory in my bonds. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Wow. You need to post that on your fridge instead of the something from James Dobson. Just saying. Just saying. It's all in your head. Let's stand. It's all in your head. Is it? Sure, that's where it's got to start. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That goes down into the soul. But it has to come back through that filter of your what? Of your gray matter, your five senses, your brain.
That's right.
Everybody with me on that? Amen. Cast down. Yes, we need a mental adjustment. But it has to be by the Word of God. Absolutely. Not by what? Our own, look right there, selfishness. Lovers of their own self. I don't want to live for myself, a selfish life. I want to live for others and give that strength I have, not to myself, but to the benefit of others that will build the kingdom of God. Talking about our own selfish being, our own ambition. If we could completely surrender ourselves and be yoked to Him, what? Prisoner. Be yoked to Him no matter what the rest of the world thinks. I do not care what the world thinks about me. Whatever you lead, I'll follow, Lord. I'll be a prisoner. See? Wow. Then you have to suffer to reign. Listen, the Bible says the present suffering of this time cannot be compared to, in other words, let me interpolate to the eternal life that we have. Everything you see in your human life has an end. Except eternal life. Everything. Everything has an end. Everything's getting older. Everything's getting wore out. But if you'll suffer, you'll reign, because character is a victory, not a gift. It's not something God gives out. Now, He gives gifts. gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy, gifts of different things. But you got to suffer to get character. Because character, what? Character was not, character was inside of you, was your old nature. When you get that out of you, you still got what? You got a lot of things you got to get out of you. Because a man without character can't reign, because power apart from character is satanic. But, power with character is fit to rule. And that's what God wants. He wants, number one, oh, I wish he'd rule over my neighbor. I wish he'd rule over my preacher or my song leader. No, he needs. You need to get yourself ruled over first. When you get yourself into subjection, amen? When I get myself into subjection, then what? Then God's going to work. Power with character is fit to rule. You love the Lord? It's all in your head. It's got to start there. Don't let it stay there. If the three Hebrew children would have what? If they would have leaned toward their human imagination and human emotion, you know what they'd do? Oh, we'll bow. Don't worry. We got it. No. Their resolve was, I don't care. Live or die, sink or swim. I'm heading toward the problem. Everybody, all of us have got problems. Head toward it, not away from it. Right. Amen? Yes. Head toward the problem, not away from it. Because if you're a child of God, you got to go through it. Amen. But when you get on the other side, you look back and say, it was all for me. It just broke me out of the bonds that I was in. That's the way you got to look at all of it. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Oh, there's a river of life flowing out from me. Make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open prison doors, set the captive free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out from me. Bring up old wells. Where's it gotta come from? In your soul. Bring up old wells and make me whole. Bring up old wells and give to me what? That life abundantly. Sing it. Oh, there's a river of life. What? Pulling out. Lay it out. Get that.
Sister Christine and Sister Collins.
Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Bring up old well within my soul. Bring up old well and make me whole. Bring up old well.